one of my first interviews about this, I said, Aesu Isupa has a pheromonic effect. And for the next 11 years, I really had wished I hadn't said that. You know, what journalists make of that, then they go, oh, it's a pheromone. And it isn't. Having said that, I mean, I have a friend in London. She said she got over the years three free cab rides because at the end of the ride, the guy said to her, if you tell me what you're wearing, you don't have to pay me. They were so convinced that they don't need the money, you know, for the ride. They just wanted the info. The info would pay them. It would feel like this is enough if I get that info and I will know what this smells like. My name is Gesa Schön. I'm the perfumer behind the Eccentric Molecule series. Molecular One isn't really, you can't really call this a fragrance. It's a molecule and it's a single aroma chemical. And yes, only because we call everything which sits in a bottle and has a pump spray on top, we call it perfume. There's no specific sort of law for are you allowed to call this a perfume or not. It's something where we feel, yes, this is right. We can give that to people. They can spray it on their skin. They can walk out. And it's very likely that somebody will run after them, asking them what they smell so nice of. That's the bottom line, I think. To release it was a great moment. We knew we were gonna do something quite cheeky there. Some people were like, oh, that's just ridiculous, you know, but hey, it works. By reducing it down to this one thing and making other perfumers realize this really works, yeah, you would piss people off, obviously. And most of my friends were like, although my perfumer friends were like, you know what, well done, you asshole, great. Yeah, you can call that bold, but I had tested that already and I knew it worked. I knew I had a weapon there. I had lots of friends in the 80s and 90s who, you know, when you would start wearing a fragrance, who wouldn't wear a fragrance. They just didn't like it. They thought this is too much, too sweet, too fruity, too leathery, too, you know, too much. So I'd rather wear nothing than this or that or some other fragrance. So out of that context came the idea that I felt, hang on, you know, it'd be so nice if they would all have a olfactory kind of fingerprint and something, you know, they would be smelling off something and have an identity. And they didn't. They rather wear no fragrance back then. And I thought, that's a shame. Anything you put on yourself, like with that molecule, will give you a very little unique identification. And it mixes obviously with your body chemistry, so that again makes even the one chemical in molecular one individual on you, because you know you ooze your own body chemistry. We all live differently. We all, you know, drink, smoke, eat differently. We make sports. We don't make sports. We, you know, so all of this, whatever you take into your body, will come out. So that will kind of fade off onto your olfactoric identity to then create something new. So that's like you plus Aesu Isupa, if you like. This was just the idea. I tested this out in probably September, October 1990 with this friend of mine, and it worked back then. So that's 27 years ago, and it would have worked in any other place, town, country, continent. That would have worked. Wearing Aesu Isupa, wearing Molecular One, is probably still kind of a daring thing, just because you break down this cultural thing of wearing a perfume down to a single aroma chemical might seem a bit odd. We launched that 2005. We had a very silent launch here in Berlin at a tiny shop before we had the official launch in April 2006 at Harvey Nichols. So I thought, that's really cool. Let's just do that. This will be a shocker to the fragrance industry because, you know, we just fill one ingredient into the bottle. That's really cheeky. That's like, you know, saying, you know, like a chef is going, you know what? I'm going to fill tomatoes in a can and sell it. And everybody would be, well, you're nuts because, you know, that's just, that won't work. And in our case, it did work. This is just an idea which is unique and which some people appreciate so much that it doesn't matter what's in the bottle. There's this magic stuff in there, and they've known that, you know, probably themselves, they have, they've gone after one on the street and asked that person what it is. That's most likely how you will come across it. And so that has to be done once. And there was only one Malevich, and there was one Yves Klein producing the Magic Blue, and there was only, you know, Jackson Pollock going mad. And so certain ideas have to be done and be released and gone to the public to present them and to let them become part of our reality. And only then it's done, not before. To call this smell retro, I mean, okay, then you only have as a parameter or as a guideline time. Yes, it's now 11 years old that we did it, but this particular smell has no time. That would have worked 50 years ago, that would have worked 100 years ago. It still will work in 50 years' time from now. So, yeah, of course, you can call anything retro if it's been done more than 2 or 5 years ago, sure. But that's just like, you know, that's just a description. So I think until something new comes into the market, which takes over the role of people wanting to wear Molecular One, until then it's not retro, until then it's modern. I mean, great to know that, you know, in some shops we sell more than Chanel or some of those established brands. So that's good to see that people are willing to step away from, you know, those big classics and turn their heads towards something more, much more modern. That's great. About 5 or 6 years ago, I met for the first time Professor Dr. Hans Hutt, who has such a long name. I will never forget. On his business card, he had to abbreviate his given name with H dot because he had four titles in front of that. Otherwise, his business cards would have been too small. I was really impressed by that. I met him, and he is a scientist, and he's a mad researcher and holds 3 doctorates, and he's a professor for numerous things. He heads the Department for Cell Physiology in Bochum in Germany, and has about, I think, 50 or 60 people who do nothing else but do groundbreaking research to see how we smell. And he was just testing sort of, you know, classic ingredients of essential oils like cineol, citral, coumarin, limonene, citronellol, all these sort of components essential oils are made of in nature. And had sort of mediocre results. So he would inject actually tiny amounts of that directly into a cell and then watch how the cell reacts on that particular ingredient being injected into it. And then I said, why don't you try some really cool ingredients? So I gave him IC Super. And he then came back to me months later when he had tested it, and he said, this stuff is different. He said the cell basically starts to dance. 11 years later, what I had said previously, that it almost has a pheromonic effect, was right. He has to do a few further tests on that, and basically realized and found out that indeed Isui Super does tickle our vomeronasal organ quite a bit. The vomeronasal organ is that one part in our brain where all the pheromonal actions are being triggered and being realized. which is a sensation, because so far in perfumery we weren't, or in, let's say, in research and from a scientific point of view, we just weren't able to actually test whether our cells actually really react onto something specific we give to them, and now we have the proof. So that idea that you fill, you know, a whole room with lots of people with Isui Super and a little debauchery is going to happen is actually not unreal. Triggers an atmosphere, a nice atmosphere where people, you know, fancy a snog or do whatever they want to do, and that's fantastic. Hey, I mean, you know, wearing perfume has always been, the reason for that has always been that you want to make yourself more attractive. Otherwise, you might as well wear nothing and, you know, smell of nothing other than yourself or your own body chemistry. Molecular One gives you a kind of a magic feel. It's you wearing it, walking somewhere, you will attract people and they will come after you and they will run after you and most likely ask you what it is. That you ask yourself, you really don't know whether you love that person for being that person or for wearing Molecular One. I can't take that away from you. I mean, I sometimes myself, when I go through Berlin even or other cities, and you know, I come across somebody who smells really nice and I go like, oh man, that's amazing, what is that? And I sometimes realize, well, that's Molecular One. How can you not see that? So that shows that actually this grabs me physically, emotionally, it touches me and it does something with me, and I realize, oh, that's really nice. Before my brain starts get going to explain to myself, well, that's Molecular One, you idiot. And, you know, that just shows how even me, I can't instantly put my finger on that if I smell that on a person. Because again, it smells slightly different on each person. And it's, you know, it hits your nose and your emotional, part of your emotional brain too quick to actually realize before it had hit me. Maybe that's also a good sign that even the, if you call that, the creator of the whole product is being bamboozled by it still 12 years later.
Perfume, a sensory journey through contemporary scent, runs at Somerset House, London, from the 21st of June to the 17th of September.
And until someone else comes up and says, hey, I've got something new here, wear this, and this works even better than Molecular One, until then it's not happening.